Open our hearts and our minds this morning to hear you through Phyllis, through Rose and in Jesus' name, help me please. Amen.
So we are finishing up our series on Does the Bible Say That? And today is a little different because this is not a phrase that people normally think the Bible says, but it's a phrase that I think people think is true. So we're going to look at it. But to start with, I want to tell a story. When I was a little girl and we had Christmas time, our family didn't have a lot of money. And my parents usually gave us maybe one present or maybe two presents. That's it. We didn't have stockings. We just maybe got one or two presents. And I told my parents, all I want for Christmas is that doll head. Because I wanted to braid her hair and I wanted to put makeup on. And my mom said, "No, Rosie, you don't want that for Christmas. You're going to get bored with it." That's what I want. Yes, I know what I want. And I asked her every day for months. And we had a catalog. We didn't have the internet, right? So we got a JCPenney or a Montgomery Ward's or a Sears catalog. And we cut out our picture of the things we wanted. But that's the only thing I wanted. And Christmas time came, and I opened it, and I was so happy. I got what I wanted. I couldn't believe it. And the next day, I was still sort of happy. And the next day, I don't really like this. What am I going to do with it? How many times can you braid this doll head's hair? Oh, my mom was right. It doesn't really make me happy. It made me happy for a day, right? But how much can you do with a doll head? Now, I do remember Kukay had one of these, and she really was good at it. And it, you know, her parents knew that that was something she really would love to do. But my mom knew me. I thought that's what I wanted. I thought it would make me happy, but it wasn't. And we all have seen children that get, you know, elaborate toys at Christmas, and then what do you find them playing with? The box. The wrapping paper, right? Because we can do all this big fancy stuff, but it doesn't necessarily make our hearts happy. This country that we live in, the United States, when we wanted to separate from England, we wrote something called the Declaration of Independence. And do you remember what it says in there? That all men, but the idea was all people have the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So everyone wants to be happy and they want to know what the key to happiness is, right? They think they know, they think they've found it. So I want you to take a few minutes and talk to the people around you. And I want you to answer these two questions. What does the world or the American dream promise will make you happy? And what actually makes you happy? When are you actually happy? Okay? So, you talk to the people around you. Okay, finish up. You could probably stay there and talk for a long time. So, what makes you, what does the world say makes us happy?
Money, money, money,
money, money. Money. Houses and cars and phones.
Beauty.
Beauty. Anything else?
Freedom.
Freedom. And what actually makes what?
Oh,
to be healthy, to be strong, right? Makes, yeah. And what makes you happy? Maybe some of those things do, but what makes you happy? When do you feel happy? When you're in community?
When I have friends.
When you have friends?
Music?
When
you have a close relationship
with God?
Nature?
When I see a sunset or a sunrise? I can't be sad. Jerry says grandchildren. Children, like in general, healthy children. If they're running around, it's hard to be sad, right? It's happy. Okay, you can stay where you're seated or you can go back. Either way is fine, but we're going to continue on. Today we're going to talk about, next slide, about this idea that God wants us to be happy. God wants me to be happy. And there are people that say that, right? And let's think about that for a minute. God wants me to be happy. Patoka, does God want you to be happy? Let's look at scripture. I mean, in Psalm 37, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Enjoy safe pasture. None of you said safety, but I think safety is something that people think is important to their happiness, right? So dwell in, enjoy safe pasture. Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Jerry, that new car's coming, right? The desire of your heart. So that seems to say, yes, God wants me to be happy. And by the way, the word blessed and the word happy gets translated both ways in Scripture. Somehow we think of them as different because we have a different, maybe, picture of what happiness is, but in Scripture, the same word can be translated blessed or happy. In Jeremiah 29, this is a verse that we often give, like people that are graduating from high school or college, right? Or we hold on to it. We say, oh, God says, or Jeremiah says that the God says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. That word is actually like plans for your shalom, for your wholeness, for your health, for your well-being, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I have something for you. He was talking to Israel, right? But people take that verse and they say, well, that's God's heart. So I think that's for me too. So it does seem like God wants us to be, to have that experience of happiness and blessedness and safety and well-being and shalom, right? But when people say, in this country, when people say, oh, God just wants you to be happy, I don't necessarily think they're talking about what these scriptures are talking about. And so we have to kind of sift through and try to think together about what we mean when we say, oh, God just wants me to be happy. I think people say that when they're trying, when they want to do something wrong and they're trying to justify it. You know, oh, it's not that big a deal. God wants me to be happy, so it's okay to do this, this, and this, and this. Because it's going to make me happy, temporarily at least, right? For a little while, I'll be happy for the moment. Like I was happy when I got that doll head. Now that wasn't a sin necessarily, but it wasn't a sin. But my mom knew best. She knew what was actually going to bring me fulfillment and joy, and it wasn't that doll head. Okay? So we have to think about when do we use this phrase? And I've talked to people, you know, a married couple that says, yeah, he just doesn't make me happy anymore. She doesn't make me happy anymore. So it's more important that I'm happy. So let's get a divorce, right? So they use that idea. God wants me to be happy. So this relationship is hard. Therefore, I'm leaving. Now, there are times when it's appropriate to leave a marriage, right? If you're being abused or something like that, but or there's adultery has been committed. But if it's just like, well, not quite happy, that's not a very good reason at all. Marriage is hard work. Or if, you know, people want, I hear this all the time, you know, God would want me to be happy, so it's okay to have sex outside of marriage or before marriage or with somebody else while I'm married, right? No, it's not okay. But we justify it by saying, oh, but God wants me to be happy, as if our happiness is the highest thing in the world. Okay, so I think that we spend money on things we don't need, or we spend money that we don't have on things we don't need. And because why? We want to feel happy in the moment. So we justify these things by saying, oh, God just wants us to be happy. And so there's another preacher out there that I'm stealing an idea from. Next slide. And he, oops, I'm missing a slide. Theology of happiness. And he came up with this theology of happiness that he thinks exists in the United States. It's a theology means study of God. So it's the way we think about God and happiness, right? So he says that people think, oh, whatever makes me happy must be the right thing. And if I don't feel happy, it must be wrong. Do you know people that think like that? And then go to the next step. If I experience discomfort or delay or suffering or I'm inconvenienced or there's a roadblock or an obstacle, well, that can't be God's will for me because I'm supposed to be happy, happy, happy. And then take it to the next level, the third step, without knowing it. It's in the air we breathe, folks. It is in the air we breathe. Without knowing it, we begin to worship false gods. Instead of seeking and pursuing God, we pursue money or wealth or comfort or pleasure or whatever makes us feel good in the moment. That becomes the highest priority. And whenever anything else is above God, that's an idol. And we're seeking after that thing because we're pursuing happiness. We're pursuing feeling good immediately. I don't know. What do you think about that? Does that make sense? Do you see how, and I think of like Melky and Vina or Pato Khan, people that have come to this country. Is it like that where you came from? Or is it very much here, this idea that you have to be happy, happy, happy? I don't know. But it certainly is here, right? Pato Khan, your children want, yes, they want more, 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 right? And it's like in the air we breathe. So there's many wonderful things about the United States. Many wonderful things. But we have to kind of sift out and notice some of the things that maybe are leading us away from God and seeking after what is most important. Now, Do not go home and tell people. The pastor Rose said, God doesn't want me to be happy. You know, no one wants to go to church with a bunch of really, oh, woe is me people. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. God delights when we are delighted. If you get a promotion, if you get a raise, if you have a new baby, if, you know, you get to, you're loving the sunset or you're loving sitting out in the trees. God is delighted when our hearts are delighted. Just like as a parent, you're delighted, or a grandparent, you're delighted. When your granddaughter is happy and you see her on FaceTime, Jerry, it makes you happy, right? Yeah. It's not that God doesn't want us happy. God wants us to have joy and wants us to have abundant life, wants us to be fulfilled. But he doesn't want us seeking after things that are just temporary in order to get that. You know, Jesus, I think, was a happy guy. I think he was. I think people liked being around him because he was fun and there was laughter and there was food, right? There was a lot of food when Jesus was around. And if there wasn't enough food, he made there be food, right? I think people enjoyed being with him. But he also said, if you follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross. Because my way, there is going to be suffering. There's going to be trouble. But his joy didn't depend on his circumstances. Scripture says, Jesus said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Because there was joy coming, he had to get through the hard thing. Women that give birth to children, there's a lot of pain, I've been told. Right? But then there's something beautiful that comes out of that. Suffering is a part of life on this side of heaven. Right? So, it's not that God doesn't want us to be happy or blessed or experience joy or fulfillment. He doesn't want us trying to find it in the doll head when he knows there's something more for us that's richer and deeper. I want us to look at 1 John. Oh, yeah, let's look at 1 John 2. And we're going to read it. I'm going to read the light print, and I want you to read the dark print. And I've taken two different translations and put them together to kind of emphasize things. This is from 1 John. He says to the people he's writing to, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods or their possessions. Read that again.
Love of the world is love of the Father.
Practically everything that goes on in the world,
wanting your own way,
or lust of the flesh,
wanting everything for yourself,
or lust of the eyes,
wanting to appear more,
pride of life, has nothing to do with the Father. In fact, it just isolates you from him. It separates you from him because you're so focused on, I want more, 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 more for me.
The world
is wanting more, more, more. But whoever does the will of God
will last forever.
There's another quote from another person, Rick Warren, that I borrowed. He says, God is more interested in your character, in becoming like Christ, than he is in your comfort. Following Jesus is not always comfortable. In fact, it's pretty much not comfortable. And God is more interested in making your life holy than he is in making your life happy. That's Rick Warren's quote. It's not from the Bible, but it's just a quote from another preacher that's out there. God is interested and takes delight when we're happy. But it's not his highest priority. At least not on this earth. Let's look at the next slide. I think that God has a purpose for you. Has a purpose for you that will involve your happiness. But it isn't the first thing you seek. Right? Ephesians says, you are God's handiwork. You were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had planned beforehand. So Samantha, God has a purpose for you. And Phyllis, God has a purpose for you. And Henry, God has a purpose for you in this side of the church too. Right? God has a purpose for you, Kalu. For you. He has a purpose for you. He already planned it. He already knows it. And when we do His purpose, there is a deeper kind of happiness and joy that happens inside us. Scripture in John 10:10 says, the enemy comes, right? The evil one comes. The thief comes. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy. He might make it look all shiny. But in the end, it takes from you. It takes your family, your life. It takes everything from you. Because He doesn't care about you. Jesus said, I came that you could have life and that you could have it abundantly and full. Enemy brings death. Jesus brings life. Doesn't mean that in that life there won't be suffering. There won't be hard times. But there is a depth, a richness that comes when we are seeking God's purpose. The next slide. God's priorities are different than what the world teaches. If we were a note-taking church, I would tell you this is where you should take notes. Because as we look over this, think of the American dream on this side and think of God's highest priorities on this side, right? The American dream says, you got to be successful at all costs. And it defines what success looks like. You got to have the most money, the biggest house, the biggest iPhone, because then you're going to have to get another one next month because they're going to come out with another one that you need, right? And you got to be successful. And when you're in the kingdom of God, God says, be grateful for what you have. Paul said, I learned to be content in little, and I learned to be content in plenty. Right? So learning to have a spirit of gratitude, to be thankful, thankful, thankful for what we have. To be content with what we have. To experience a peace from God that passes all understanding. Is so different than, I gotta climb up the mountain of success. The world says you have to be safe. You have to protect yourself. You have to protect be safe, be safe. And we pray those prayers a lot. In Sunday school this morning, we studied the prayer in Acts, right? Right, Nydia? Where the people were being persecuted and we would have expected them to pray for safety, but they didn't. They prayed for more boldness to preach the gospel, right? So it's not that safety is bad or success is bad. It's just not the highest priority. God is most interested in keeping our hearts and our minds and our souls secure. The prayer in Philippians is that Jesus would guard our hearts and our minds. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 10, he says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. But cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We can get sucked into this. Safety can become our God. The world says you got to be comfortable. We already talked about this. God is more interested in our character. And being conformed to the image of Jesus is His purpose for us, right? To be conformed not to the world, but being transformed, having the mind of Christ. Multiple times in Scripture, God says, be holy as I am holy. You're like, I can't be like God. But God is in the business, the Spirit is in the business of shaping you until finally in heaven we have that image of Christ fully. But we're on the journey here, on this side. The world says, the American dream says, pursue happiness at all costs. God says, pursue me. Delight in me. My presence is more than enough for you. I am the way and the end. I am the means and the end, right? That's what you need to seek. Seek God's will. Pursue Him. You'll find out He's been pursuing you all along. All along. The world says, I got to get more stuff. I got to get more stuff for me, 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 me. And Jesus says, no, share more love. Share more love. Jesus said, I have a new commandment. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Tell other people the good news. Stop focusing on what you can get. Think about what you can give. God does not exist to make us happy. We exist to bring Him glory. But what happens as a byproduct of knowing God is we find true happiness and true joy and true contentment. I want to go to the scripture we read in the beginning. And Pam had beautiful trees that she shared with the children. Happy are those who trust in the Lord, who rely on the Lord. Happy, blessed, same, okay? This is where you're going to find your joy and your contentment and your peace and your life and your wholeness, your shalom. The things that really do bring deep joy are going to be found in Jesus. They will be like trees that are planted by streams whose roots go down deep into the water. They're not going to fear when the drought comes, when their circumstances are suffering, right? They're not going to be stressed out in the time of drought. Each of you, when you're living out God's purpose for you, when you're pursuing Him, you become like this beautiful tree. You're not afraid. You don't need to worry. Drought can't steal your joy. Heat can't take your peace, right? Difficult circumstances can't stop you from bearing fruit. What are you seeking today? Pursuing happiness or God's purpose for you? Are you pursuing happiness or God's presence? What does your heart seek? Because God created you, He knows better than you do what you need. Way better. And what will bring you joy and fulfillment and happiness. Amen. As a response, I'd like you to take this yellow sheet of paper. If you don't have one, if you didn't get a bulletin, there are more back there. Melky, can you just get some extra yellow papers so everybody has one? Now, Willian, you need one. Everybody needs one. And I know it's in English at the top, but the most important thing on here is this square. Sometimes our prayers look like the prayer at the top. God, make me happy. Make me safe. Make me rich. Keep me comfortable. Give me the American dream. I want you to think about a prayer that looks a little different than that. There's a scripture down at the bottom from 1 Corinthians 4, which tells us to remember that the things of this world, they're going to pass away. And what really brings us deep joy is what we receive from God. And you may not all have pens, so I couldn't find pens, but I have some markers I can bring out with thin tips. You're not going to turn these prayers in. They're for you to take home, to think about, to keep praying. But my desire is for us, oh, Carolyn has some pens. My desire is for us to begin to pray for that which has eternal value, for that which really, truly does bring peace in our own lives, also for the lives of those that we love and those that don't yet know Jesus. So Pam will put some music on and we will have some time of quiet to write our prayers.
It's time for the prayers to the people. One prayer I want to put out there that needs answering is for Ripple, for members who are seeking freedom from destructive behaviors, and for more volunteers to help.